If you'd like to just keep that passage open, we'll look at it. Let me add my welcome. My name is David Coy and I'm the minister here at St Paul's, and it's great to have you here today. I want to speak today about the character of a woman. The place and role of women in our society has been under much debate, of course, hasn't it, over the last 30 years or so. And there have been a variety of outcomes, many of which have been very good, some of which have been not as good. But it's been a helpful debate at a number of levels for us. Today, on this Mother's Day, it's important for us to hear, in the midst of all of that, that God highly honours and values women. He places high value on the character of a woman. Now, the whole idea of character in our society is something that's really, I think, fallen off the public agenda. It's different these days to the way it was 50 years ago or so. For us these days, people are very concerned about things like success or competency or self-fulfillment, those kinds of things. And those things are pursued as more important than character. And so, for example, a politician might be caught in adultery of some kind. And so the cry goes out in the media that their personal life is their own business and that we shouldn't make any judgment upon their public role based on what they do. I find this personally a bit puzzling. I don't know about you, but I find it puzzling that if a man cannot keep his private, personal and most significant promises, why do we expect him to somehow keep his promises in public life? It seems strange to me. However, I might be alone in that. It's not just the public politicians, it's also people like our sports heroes and so on. Their personal life is their personal life. And yet I think privately we all highly value the good character of a person when we meet it. It might be the faithfulness of a friend over many years and through tough circumstances. It might be the honest and truthful dealings that we experience from someone in business or some company. It might be self-sacrifice, something which I've really appreciated in my parents, my mother and my father. God highly values the character of a woman. But what kind of character does he highly value? Well, with that question in mind, I want us to come today to Titus chapter 2, which is printed in your sheet this morning. This little letter of Titus was written to some Christians who were in Crete. And it was written to them at a time when some false teachers, people who were teaching error, were coming in and trying to invade the church and spread their ideas. And Paul writes to the church to encourage them. And one of the things about these false teachers is that their lives don't match their words. They say one thing, yes, we fear God, but their way of life betrays a completely different attitude to God. And so if you look at what he says there in the very first verse, Paul says to his Cretan friends, you must, to Titus in particular, this is what he is to say among the Cretans. He says, you must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. In other words, you are to teach the kind of lifestyle that fits with a true relationship with God. Now, what he gives in the verses following that is what the technicians call a household table. What he does is he works his way through the different members of an ordinary household. Older men, younger men, older women, younger women, children and slaves. Although I don't think he deals with the children here so much. But he deals with slaves here, who were an ordinary part of an ordinary household in those days. Now, the list he gives here of instructions is not exhaustive. There is more that he could say, and no doubt did say, when he was present with them. But he does say a lot here, and it's very helpful. So firstly, what does he say to older women? Well, he says in verse 3 that older women are to be reverent in the way they live. Reverent. Now, when he talks about reverence, he's talking here about our relationship with God. He's talking about a deep honour of God, which is to be worked out in many different ways. When you have a deep reverence for God, a fear of God in that sense, it affects every area of your life. Now, Paul gives three examples here. And so he goes on to say, that therefore women should be not slanderers. Very easy to slip into slander, isn't it? I notice in myself how easily I do it. How quickly I think ill of another person. Before I know it, I've actually started opening my mind and sharing my criticisms with other people. It's easy to do. And it often comes, of course, in the form of gossip, doesn't it? We're very good at gossip. We love the stories that are passed around from one person to another. And we often play our own role in passing it around. But he says, no, the older women who have a deep honour of God will not take part in slander. They will not take part, therefore, in gossip. It hurts people. It damages people when we slander them, when we talk behind their back. And ladies, you are to take no part in that thing, in those things. You are, if you're an older woman, to set an example to the younger women in those matters. He talks also about not drinking too much wine, not being addicted to much wine. Alcohol was a problem back then, just as it is today. And we need to realise the deep problems that alcohol brings to our society. Enormous problems. And I take it when Paul says you are not to be addicted, he's really saying to the women, you are to be in charge of yourself. You are not to be ruled by things like alcohol. It's really picking up a theme that he speaks of in other places here, for example, with the older men, of being self-controlled, not alcohol controlled, or add whatever substances you might think of. Thirdly, and more positively, he says that you older women are to be teachers of good. Now, here is a special role that belongs to older women. This is why an older woman needs to be a person of good character. You are to use your experience and your wisdom to gently instruct. Now, what kind of instruction are you to give? Well, it's Christian instruction, isn't it, ultimately? It's the teaching about the Lord Jesus and the life the Lord Jesus wants you to live. And who are you to teach? Well, in this passage, in particular, women are to teach, the older women are to teach the younger women. Now, I take it it's not only the younger women, but here we have, in this context, a household table. And if there are younger women in your household, you are to be their teacher and to train them. And so, older women, you are to shape the next generation so that they will know what it means to love and to serve God, whom you fear. And I want to urge you, if you're an older woman here today, not to be shy about that. Sometimes in our culture we are shy. We don't like to push ourselves forward. We feel a bit strange about assuming the role of a teacher to someone else. But it is a God-given role. Do you see that? God has commanded you to teach and instruct the next generation of women. So you are given a special role. Don't be shy about it. On the other hand, don't be brutal about it either. It's possible, isn't it, to sway the other way? No, be gentle and kind and loving as you urge and strengthen the young women to live godly lives. Well, that takes us to the younger women in verse 4. The older women are to teach the younger women certain things. They are to teach the younger women to love their husbands and children, he says. In our society, love is so often just an emotion. It's what you feel. But love, when it's properly understood, is not just what you feel. If you're a married person, you know that feelings go up and down all the time. It's not just what you feel. It's your commitment to another person. It's a decision. And here we see that loving your husbands and children is something that older women are to teach to the younger women. In other words, they are to give the how-to. The older woman is to be able to teach the younger woman and say, this is how you go about loving your husbands. She is to be self-controlled as well. The younger woman is to be self-controlled. We live at a time when we live very much by impulse, by the spontaneous, by following our desires. And there's so much in society that teaches us simply to follow our heart. But true character is about self-control. Younger women, in an age of impurity, in an age where adultery and affairs are common and sex outside of marriage is common, he also says that younger women are to be pure. Younger women are to be chaste. He says they are to be busy at home. A young wife has a special role in making a home for her family. It's a precious and important role. And it's something which, as we grow older, we value so greatly. The home that our mother created for us. And at a time when people say, look, we've got to push for our own way here, the younger women are also, we're told, to be kind. We're to be kind people and to be subject to their husbands. That is, younger women, you are to encourage your husband in his leadership, and here in particular to be ready to let him lead you. That's how you encourage him, to be ready to be led by him. Now, all of these things are things that you who are older women are to teach the younger women. They are to do firstly with your household and your family, but not only your immediate blood family, but also, I take it, your church, your Christian family. These days the language we use is the language of mentoring, isn't it? And that word has its pluses and minuses, but if we can use it for a moment, older women are to mentor the younger women around them. It's not enough to simply say, well, look, this is your job now, I'm simply handing it to you. You are to teach and to train the young women, to get alongside them, to form a relationship with them, to share your life with them, to encourage them, to help them, to teach them as a mother would her own daughter. Now, that's already happening in small ways in our church, but wouldn't it be great if this was happening on a large scale within our church? If older women were engaged, getting to know the younger women and encouraging and helping them to be women of character. So, God highly values the character of a woman. And by living in these kinds of ways, he says, the word of God will not be brought into dishonour. He says, so that no one will malign the word of God. No criticism will come to our God on our account. But why are we to live like this? Well, the answer is because of Jesus Christ. I want us to look right down towards the bottom of that passage, to the section I've highlighted there in verse 13 and 14. Let me read it to you again. He says, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Why are we to live in these ways? Older women, younger women, why are you to live in these kinds of ways? It is because of Jesus. It is because he gave himself for us. He's talking there, of course, about his death on the cross, where he gave up his life to pay our debt to God. He gave up his life, we're told here, to redeem us. In the ancient world, if you had a relative that was in slavery, then you could redeem that relative by paying the slave price to the owner. And once the price was paid, the slave, your relative, was released back into the possession of your family. Jesus paid our price. He paid the price to release us from our slavery to wickedness, our slavery to an anti-God way of life. He came and died to purify us, to cleanse us of our wrongs. And he did all this so that we would be, he says here, a people that are his very own. You see, we've been purchased from our slavery into the possession of Jesus. and to be a people who are eager to do what is good. Now, if that's why Jesus gave his life, if that's why he released us, if that's why he purified us, if that's why he has made us his very own, then life just can't go on as it has been. It must change. We know that in life, don't we? When a man and a woman meet and fall in love, and they enjoy the love of the other person, the natural response is to give themselves to that person who has loved them. And so it is with Jesus, who has loved us so much as to give up his life for us. We are now to live for this Jesus, not to live for ourselves, not to live for the world and its values, but to live for Jesus. And that is why a Christian woman's character is to be different to other people's character. Ladies, I want to say to you, in this day and age, that character does matter. The world says no, it doesn't. But our own experience of life and of other people says every day, yes, it does matter. And here we see that it matters to God, the God who loved the world so much that he did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. To his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we read in verse 14, who gave himself to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Friends, all of this matters to us. And on this Mother's Day, as we reflect on the mothers who have influenced us, and perhaps even on our own motherhood, I want to say that character, your character, has shaped us, and it continues to do so. And let me urge you to therefore have your character shaped by this word of Jesus, this word of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the mothers who have played such a vital role in our lives. We thank you for all their gifts and their love and their self-sacrifice on our behalf, for their tenderness. Father, we pray for all the women of our lives and all the women of our church, that as they desire to be women of substance and character, that you would richly bless them. Give them joy as they take roles within the family and within the church to shape and to mould one another and younger women and the next generation. We commit them to you, Father, and pray for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.